Zoe reached one hand into the icy water and grabbed a salmon's head, then pushed two fingers of her other hand under its gill. Through the glove, she could feel the thin membrane under the gills give way. The heavy fish shook twice. "It's wiggling!" Zoe yelled, yanking her hands away from the fish. It fell back into the net, shook for a few seconds, then still. "That's what we want. We don't like them to drown in the net. And we want to keep the net as empty as we can so the new fish don't get scared away." That made perfect sense. What was she afraid of, anyway? Zoe was determined not to look like a helpless city girl.
Annie Buchiever, thank you so much for joining us. What prompted you to set your first novel in Bristol Bay, Alaska? You have some history here, I gather.
I do. Not very much, but what I had a big impact on me. I came here over 30 years ago. It was around 1980, and I came with my two kids, who at the time were 4 and 6. I was a single mother and newly divorced, and I had a bush pilot boyfriend. And
I'm recognizing some of the theme or some of the characters in this book.
The book is very much based on real life. But I didn't even get to stay for the whole season. But it just left this huge mark. I was so impressed with the place, the people, the way of life. I had never seen anything like it. And I'm a born and raised Alaskan from Juneau. But it's really different there, and it just left a huge impression on me, and I always thought about it, and it took 30 years to get to where I had enough still time where I could actually write it.
So your only real time spent in Bristol Bay was 30 years ago, and it resulted in this novel.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Well, I did a lot of research. I had a lot of friends who had been here, and I came back about 4 or 5 years ago and spent a little bit of time in Naknek doing more research, talking to people, because even though the book is fiction, I really wanted to make the descriptions and the place and the whole ancient art of set net fishing as real as I could make it.
Let me ask you about that, because you grabbed a lot of the imagery that I'm sure resonates with any readers from here and really puts a nice, vivid description of the region for readers outside of here. There's the 40-horse Johnson outboard motor. There are the Ulu knives. People don't drive trucks. They drive rigs and on and on. What was your favorite imagery to make sure that you included?
Well, I don't know. You're jogging my memory about the 40-horse Johnson. And I definitely, you know, even though we didn't have a set net site in Bristol Bay, I did grow up with a dad who loved to fish. And we spent a lot of time fly fishing in little creeks and lakes nearby in Juneau. And so I had a lot of experience in skiffs and old motors like that.
There's kind of a nostalgic twist to the novel as well, that the young adults, I would like to know how they read into that, that there's no email, there's no smartphones, she's sending letters. There's talk of Cyndi Lauper and Indiana Jones. They probably don't even know who these people are now, unless they Google it on their smartphones.
Right,
What are you hearing about using that element?
It's a good question. I know that when I was writing it, I got some criticism from some of the readers that worked with me who thought, I think you need to make it in contemporary times. And I guess the reason I was resistant partly is because I think of it as kind of a timeless story. And actually, 30 years ago, the way they set net fish is not all that different from the way that they do it today. And half the time, the cell phones don't work in those, you know, kind of more remote areas. And you can't play video games when you're out there because you're not able to do that. So checkers and,
right.
You know, those old things. So then I decided, and it was a big decision to go contemporary or stay with the time period. So I decided, if I'm going to stay with the time period, I need to make it that time period. So I made sure, like I looked it up, and Cyndi Lauper, sure enough, she was at that time. And so all the way along, I checked it so that it really was actually like it, 1980.
I love that Zoe has to take an hour boat ride to get to a payphone to make a very critical phone call in the story. That's so much more powerful than waiting to get four bars enough climbing up on the grass. And I hope that resonates with the young audience. I hope that is important to them. And letters lost or letters undelivered. Very powerful. Mm-hmm. Was that intentional?
Yes. I mean, I guess maybe I hadn't really thought about the boat ride to make the phone call, but I mean, I grew up in that time period, and that's almost more the norm for me than to think of the cell phones. I mean, that seems very normal because that's what it was like.
So you published in May. What have you had the chance to talk to young readers about with this book?
Well, they're really interested in the juxtaposition of a real life event and how I made that into a story and what was real and what was made up. I don't know why, but that seemed to be one of their biggest interests. And so I spent a lot of time answering questions like, you know, did you marry Patrick? And
did you marry Patrick?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
No.
Is Patrick somewhere in our listening audience?
He is a fisherman in Bristol Bay, and I do definitely have contact with him, and he was absolutely ecstatic about the book.
This wasn't a memoir, so there's fictional elements added. Only you probably know just how close to the truth it comes. But did you enjoy writing something that was so close to your own story, but turning it into a fiction?
I did.
Fictional.
I liked that a lot about it. Part of why I wanted to write the book was, I was divorced. My kids were, I was a single mom, and it was a really tough time for me and for my kids. And then, of course, I was a teacher for many, many years and saw the, what divorce has done to kids and the effect it's had on kids. And so I wanted to kind of get into that whole thing and live it again and feel it, and especially do it from my daughter's point of view. And the character Zoe is modeled after my real daughter, Leora. And I mean, it was kind of a healing, really, to do that. And I think for her too. And her little brother, it's my oldest son now. But so it was in a way very biographical and kind of a healing. And then also because I mean, that was the message that I wanted to get out with the book, was I wanted this to be a hopeful book for kids that are going through that, so that they can see there may be a light at the end of the tunnel and that they're not the only one that's dealing with that kind of issue.
I noticed that the Bristol Bay Times makes an appearance in the latter half of the book. Was there KDLG didn't reach Half Moon Bay back then? It would have alerted them to the storm. They wouldn't have taken off that day. The marine weather forecast.
Oh.
We won't take it personally. Well, Annie Boutchever, author of Bristol Bay Summer, published last May. The novel was a pleasure, as was our time here together today. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a really a privilege and a delight to be here.